Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. The text is in verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and make disciples of all nations, immersing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the ages." Amen. This is the fourth message that I'm attempting on this text, because we couldn't finish it in our last session. And so we want to reiterate the great theme that our Lord revealed to us here, and what he meant by what he said when he announced that he had all power and all authority in his hands. And he said, "Now, with that in mind, here's what I'm commanding you to do. You are to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." And that simply means every place on earth where there are people, that's where the gospel was to go, to be sent. And it took the early church, the church of Jerusalem, a little while to get going on that, to understand what was required. Peter had to get that special vision in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, when the sheet was let down with all the animals in it that were unclean and that no Jew would ever touch, much less eat. And Christ said, "Rise, slay, and eat." And Peter said, "Lord, I can't do that. Nothing unclean has ever entered into my mouth." And the Lord said, "Don't you call common or unclean what I've cleansed." And that happened three times. And then you got the household of Cornelius, which was a centurion, a Gentile, knocking on Peter's door. And Peter goes there and preaches the gospel to them, and they believe and they're saved. Now that's what sent the gospel out. And it was made plain that it's not just for you in the house of Israel, but for all nations, all people, all kinds of people, all colors. Makes no difference. So the gospel is to go. And when they went, he says that you are to make disciples. I've pointed out before, and I want to hit that point again, we have no ability to make disciples. We can preach the gospel by the grace of God, and we should, and we do. But we can't make disciples. I remember a man that I met and I knew quite well, and he came to our church at least a couple of times, and he heard the gospel, and I talked with him about his soul. But he told another friend of mine, and he died not long after this. He said, "I'm lost, and I'm going down lost." And this man said, "No, you shouldn't say that. You can be saved." And he said, "No, I can't be." We couldn't make him a disciple. We preach the gospel to him. But I'm telling you, if the power of the Holy Spirit doesn't come down, there's never been a disciple made in this world and never will be made. We're not like the Arminians who think they can do that. They say, "Oh, we can make disciples." One preacher told me that they had an evangelist come to their church to preach a meeting, and he said, "How many people do you want to see saved?" He said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Just tell me the number. I can deliver it. I can do it." And I believe If I remember right, he said there was about 200 professions. What a monstrosity. What a awful thing to call that the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can't do that. No evangelist, or they can get the professions. They know exactly how to do that. They can stir people up and get them to come to the altar, get them to say a prayer or whatever it is that they want them to do. They know how to do that. That's psychology. But that ain't got anything to do with the converting of the soul or making a disciple. Jesus commanded us to do it exactly in the same way that he did it while he was on this earth. Go back and read carefully the Gospels and see if you can find anything like what they do in those so-called evangelistic services. It's not there. Jesus never did any such thing. He preached the gospel. And that's what we're to do. That's the only way that we can make disciples. We depend on the Holy Spirit to come down and convict and bring people to know Jesus Christ. So then I will just mention that we were discussing the materials out of which we are to use and the prerequisites of these materials. And so that's where we are this morning. Now, the first prerequisite is that they must be regenerate, which is what I've been talking about. Only the Holy Spirit can regenerate an individual. It is a mighty work of spiritual power, and it takes God himself to do it. And he brings forth that soul from spiritual death unto life, spiritual life, and it is a divine work. The individual has no more ability to do that than he does to raise himself from the dead if he were dead. So the materials then that we are to use in teaching them all things, you know, we're to make the disciples, then we're to teach them. And the making of them requires us to follow the Lord's directions. So the prerequisite, the first one is, that they must be regenerate. You can't have a disciple in the scriptural sense of the term unless he's born again. It's impossible. You may have somebody that becomes a member of the church. You may have somebody that does great things, gives money, spends time, and does all those kind of things. But if he's not born again, you can never teach him spiritual things. He can never understand them. So that's the first prerequisite. The second one, and that's where we are this morning. The second prerequisite is that disciples, before we can teach them, and before they can be put into an assembly, they must be made willing disciples. You can't force somebody to be a disciple, and you can't force him to serve as a disciple, even if he's been saved, unless the Lord reveals him to do the things that he ought to do. Now, let me show you. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 9, and we'll look at verse 6. Here is the apostle Paul, when he was Saul of Tarsus, hating Jesus Christ, breathing out threatenings against the assemblies of Jesus Christ. And in verse 5, Acts 9, verse 5, I'll read verse 3. And he, as he journeyed, that Saul, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Now let me point out that this was a miraculous conversion. And all conversions are miraculous, but the Lord doesn't use these kind of miracles anymore. He simply leaves the gospel to do that. And we are, by the power of the Holy Spirit, brought to believe what Saul believed. But we don't have these visible manifestations of angels and of the Lord revealing himself to Saul here, because he looked up there and he saw Jesus. The Lord doesn't do that. Don't get the idea in your mind that you have to look up and see Jesus visibly, because that's not the way the Lord saves people. So he said in verse 5, the voice saying unto him, he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, that is Jesus, Saul said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord, that's Jesus, said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, this is the point, I want you to get this. He was willing, when the Lord regenerated him and brought him to faith, he was willing, a willing disciple, to do whatever the Lord said. What will you have me to do? That is the first sentence that a regenerate person can say. Lord, what will you have me to do? Because I'm yours. I'm ready. I'm willing. And I am concerned about regenerate people. People who say they're saved, that they've been regenerated, and they don't want to do the will of the Lord. Saul said, what will you have me to do? In other words, I'll do anything you tell me to do because I'm yours. You've brought me to know who you are, and I recognize you now as having all authority in heaven and in earth because you're God. And I'll do whatever you say. That's a willing disciple. The second thing, then, is that we must recognize that this cannot be done by a parent, by a church, or by a state. All of those churches that have the political power over them or with them cannot regenerate an individual. They think they can, and they, when they take a little baby and they sprinkle water on that baby or pour a little bit on its forehead, they say that that child is regenerated in the process. It's not true. Never was, never will be. It's impossible. And therefore, a state can't do it, nor can a church do it. Because these churches, what they claim is that when they baptize a baby, that baby's regenerated. He's brought into the kingdom. He's a member of the church. No, he's not. Because you can't do that. Only the Holy Spirit can bring the individual to know Christ. And so a parent, a church, or a state have no ability to regenerate or convert an individual. Then these that are regenerated must be fully dedicated to Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. This is our Lord teaching here, and he has just said in the context, I'm come to set a man at variance against his father and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Then our text, he that loves father or mother more than me, now hear it out, is not worthy of me. He that finds his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. He that receives you receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me. Therefore, a saved person, a regenerate person, is willing to do what Christ has called him to do. Therefore, this is essential if we are to make disciples according to what our text says. Now notice again what it says. Go therefore and disciple all nations. It's Matthew 28:19. That is all kinds of people in the world, immersing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. That's what happens when an individual is saved by the grace of God. Now, the third prerequisite is this. These individuals must receive baptism, and they request it. Look at Acts chapter 8 and verse 36. Philip had preached the gospel to the Ethiopian eunuch. And in Acts 8:36, as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What does hinder me from being dipped or immersed?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Verse 38, he commanded the chariot to stand still. And what did they do? Well, listen, if you were going to sprinkle somebody, you don't even need to let the horses slow down. You just keep them trotting right along. And what do? You just reach over to grab that canteen and dash a little water on your hand. And that's do the job. But Philip and the eunuch didn't do that. He said, "Whoa." Those horses stopped. And they got out of the chariot. Look what it says now. They went down both into the water. Both Philip and the eunuch. And he immersed him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. You see that? That's a willing disciple. And so what he said was to Philip, "I've heard what you've said. You've preached that if I believe that Jesus is the Christ, I ought to be baptized. What hinders me from that?" He said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And so then he was baptized. And that is an important aspect. Even, let me remind you now, in many ages since Christ, it was a capital crime to immerse somebody in water. The Protestants and the Catholics said, "You can't repeat baptism. If you do, then That is a crime that is punishable by death. And so if you went out in the river or into a pond and they caught you, they would put you to death. And they followed the Lord. They said, sometimes they baptized in the night so people wouldn't know it. But they followed the Lord. And they refused to baptize babies. And the Roman Catholics said, you're sending babies to hell. And they said, no, we're not. It's not commanded in the Scripture. We're taught out of the Scriptures not to baptize babies because they are not able to understand the gospel. And so the religious powers persecuted the saints through the Dark Ages right on up almost to modern times. Burned them to death by the thousands. England put a great number of the saints to death by burning and sometimes even drawing and quartering people. Do you know what that means? Drawing means that they hooked a horse to an individual, usually by his feet, and they drug him to the place of execution. And then to quarter him meant that they took out their knives and cut him into four parts. And many times they would put the head up on a post or on a building and leave it there as a warning. Don't you cross what we say. That's what they did. But the saints would not allow that to deter them. They would still baptize their converts. And so it is just this kind of a church, one that follows the teachings of Jesus Christ, one that says, we don't care what the world says. You can put us to death, but you can't kill the assemblies of Jesus Christ. Because he said, I'll be with you all through the ages. Hell and Hades and death will never conquer the churches of Jesus Christ. They can't do it because Christ is the one that keeps those kind of churches living. I think of the way that they persecuted the saints and how they tortured them. And I've read the books on martyrdom. And they're very bloody books. And I've seen what they did. I've read what they did. And it's unbelievable that one human being could do that to another, especially claiming to be Christians, but they did. Burning them at the stake was a horrible death. And I have read where some of those people were in the fire for 45 minutes and were begging the people to put more wood on the fire so they would die sooner. And they wouldn't give them that mercy. That's what they did. Then sometimes I've read where they put gunpowder. Now, you may not understand gunpowder, but the old black gunpowder, which was used on up to modern times, will explode. You can put a measure of powder on a rock, and you touch a match to it, it will explode. They put gunpowder in the mouth of those men and women and then would put an ember up there and touch it off. This is the kind of thing those people went through. They put stakes in women and stood them up, still alive. The Nazis of Adolf Hitler, as wicked as they were, in putting to death the millions that they did were not as wicked as those who claimed to be Christians and put to death the saints of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that this persecution will come again. Let me show you why. Look with me at the book of John, chapter 16. And verses 1 through 4. This is Jesus now. He's telling the disciples what's going to happen after he's gone back to heaven. That's John 16, 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time comes that whosoever kills you will think that he does God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they neither know, they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time come, you may remember that I have told you of them. And these things I said unto you not at the beginning, because I was with you. And he goes on and tells them of many other things that will happen. Now turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 13. Revelation 13. Verse 7. This is concerning the beast. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Now you try to get this in your mind. Jesus has all power in heaven and earth. But he gives them the loose rope, so to speak. It was given unto them to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Let me tell you, this thing is going to be worldwide. It's not going to be just here and there. It's going to be worldwide. And all that shall dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life and of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. So I believe that there will be persecution again. And I believe that it will be horrendous. I don't know what form it will take. The scripture doesn't say. But it will be persecuting of the saints. And it will persecute us to the death if we don't reject and do whatever they want. Now, in conclusion, we must keep the order of the commission. You notice that Christ here says in this, go therefore and disciple all nations. That's the first thing. That is the first thing. Don't ever be a part of any kind of a church or any kind of a religious institution that doesn't put making disciples first. The Roman Catholics, what do? They put baptism first. What do the Protestants do? They put baptism first. Jesus said, make disciples is the first step. This is Christ's orders. And we must recognize them. Then, after you've made disciples, then you bring in baptism. Never baptism first and then making of disciples. That's putting the horse before the cart. You must follow the order that Jesus Christ gave. Discipleship then must precede baptism. The greatest heresy of the ages is that of the Pope, the Roman Catholic, the Protestants, who invert the order of baptism and discipleship. whenever and wherever done. Ichabod is written over the door of those that believe it and practice it, because they're denying that Jesus has all power and all authority, and that we're to follow His orders, not our own ideas. No pope, no church, no priest, no monarch, no power on earth has the right to take these things and invert the order. Christ gave the order, and it must stand. And unless and until you make a disciple, you cannot baptize anybody scripturally. This is the way we're to make disciples, by His grace. That's all we have, is the preaching of the gospel, the following of the Lord Jesus Christ. These kind of disciples are made by the power of Jesus Christ through the gospel. And these disciples are those that are ready to be received by the churches and ready to be baptized. And these disciples will be made just as Jesus commanded us to do it, step by step, as it were. Make the disciples, baptize them, teach them, and then I'll be with you all the way to the end of the ages. May the Lord bless you.